you're not at juniors, you don't even, you don't, it's not like you don't think, but it's totally different world. Like, you get prepared in juniors, yes, to get on this big stage where you need to go and compete to guys that they have experience, level, talent, determination. I mean, I can go on and on, but like, when I got to that stage, I'm like, fuck, Tanguy, you can take me, no? Like, you can take me for to that level.
Hello, 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 man, it's good to be back. Welcome back, or welcome to the Waterski Podcast. This is Matteo Luzzeri, your host, and the goal of this podcast, despite the 4 months and some change hiatus, is to promote the sport of waterskiing. Usual goal hasn't changed. I generally do that through interviews with skiers, coaches, people in the sport, and sometimes just through conversations about waterskiing. Sometimes, hopefully, with someone else on the other side of the microphone, occasionally by myself. It's been quite a long break from podcasting, but it feels like I haven't stopped. In the summer, we're very busy here in Italy with ski school. I got busy myself with a lot of tournament skiing, which I enjoyed for the most part, especially when it went well. Just in short, there wasn't a whole lot of time to take out audio equipment and finding time to interview. So that's all in the past, and I'm happy to be here publishing some interviews. Now, luckily, despite my multiple months hiatus, water skiers weren't short of content to consume, from the webcast of TWBC to their podcast, all the various other podcasts, Spraymakers, Hit It, Ski With Wade, Distance From Center, the Water Ski Journal, all the content on social media. I feel that if you enjoy water skiing, you weren't short of content to consume during the summer months. But I'm happy to be contributing to that as well, be back to it. And this interview, I love to finally publish it. I recorded it in May whilst I was at Cori Pico Ski School with some Italian junior skiers that I brought to the Masters. And I had a set to sit down, I had a chance to sit down with Pipe Miranda, to have a long conversation about his career. Now, Pipe and I are fairly similar in age. He's a couple of years older. So he's someone that I crossed paths with several times over the years. But it was so cool to sit down at a place that is so important to him and his family, to chat it up about his career, his history in the sport, and what he believes works for good coaching. That will be more part two next week. And just like listening to stories about how he came to be one of the most important overall skiers of the last 20 years. Now, Pipe is a multiple-time world champion in overall. He's also a very strong jumper, a force to be reckoned at any pro tour stop, and all in all, just a fun guy to talk to. So I'm very excited that I get to publish this finally. Part two will be out next week, and then hopefully we manage to maintain a bit of consistency for the weeks to come. I know I've mentioned it a lot of times this year. There's good plans for episode 100. This is episode 90, so hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be able to publish that as well. Now, before we get to the interview, I want you to know that the Waterski Podcast is brought to you by the Peace, Love, and Waterskiing. So Peace, Love, and Waterskiing is Cori Vaughn's ski school and merchandise brand. Cori's been inspired by the great waterski sites all over the world, San Gervasio, Lacano, Radar Lake, Swiss Ski School, The Boarding School, and others, and has been working to make his site one of the must-visit water ski destinations. I must say, I went to his place once, and I mean, it was with a lot of skier friends, and what a gem Corey has in his hands, and that he's fostering. So if you go there, you can receive coaching by the man himself and Mike Kusiak on a wind-protected man-made lake with a brand new Mastercraft Pro Star. Add to that, new lodging facilities right on the water, a loaded pro shop, a full line of radar demos, all on hundreds of acres of beautiful Virginia countryside. You may just think you've gone to water ski heaven. The ski season in Bampas is from April 1st to November 1st. So it's a good time to start thinking about lining up a trip for next spring. Now, for the Water Ski Podcast listeners, you can enjoy a 10% off discount on all merchandise in Corey's online store by entering the code TWSP, all caps, so TWSP. You can go to peaceloveandwaterskiing.com to learn more about the ski school and get your 10% off on any Peace, Love, and Water Skiing gear. So again, peaceloveandwaterskiing.com. Use the code TWSP to get 10% off merchandise and book your trip for next season. All right, so let's jump into this first part of my interview with Pipe. Please let me know what you think about the interview on social media or via email, the usual channels. And until then, see you next week. Pipe, welcome to the Water Ski Podcast, my friend.
Thank you, Luis. I'm happy to be here and happy to be talking to you.
Look, you know, it's funny, off the record, we were just talking about COVID, the last 2 years of challenges. And one of the challenges I've had with this is that I haven't been able to interview a lot of people live. So any chance I get to, you know, sitting like we are now in front of a person in flesh and bone, I love. So thank you for being here. You might have heard some of these podcasts. I always ask the same question as the first question, just to sort of warm up. So the same goes to you. How did you get into water skiing?
Well, I got into water skiing because of my brothers. And my brother, well, first of all, we had a house in a lake, in a big lake, where we used to go on holidays, weekends, summer. And yeah, I was young. They had the house when I was born. So my father and my mother were always going to holidays there. And then my brother started skiing. They started seeing some good skiers from Chile. And obviously me as a young one start following whatever they were doing.
Yeah. So natural lake, house on the lake, next to water. How did the family get into skiing? Like, was there already like a ski scene in Chile or?
Actually, no. Actually, that's the more impressive part of my whole story of water skiing is there's not much water skiing in Chile. There were, because I don't want to hurt anybody that were starting at that time, but the level or the way they were doing it obviously wasn't the right way. Mm-hmm. And since my brother started, I started following, like I said, and my dad, nothing to do with water skiing, all about playing soccer, football. And my mom was more with us, and we were just skiing for fun. They were skiing for fun. They were pulling me behind probably with whatever. And my dad was like, kind of like, okay, if you guys want to do it, not to me again, to my brothers, let's do it, but let's do it right. Let's figure out how do we do this. Let's get closer to the right people and let's make it work like that. And that was like the plan from the start. And they decided to come to the US because that was something like not many people did in the past in Chile. I mean, I think no one, if they did, it was probably counted with my one hand.
Yeah.
So they went to Peterson Ski School down in Orlando in 93, if I'm not wrong, 92, 93. And I didn't go, obviously. I was only 6 years old and my brother went. I went after to pick them up or to drop them off and pick them up. Both time I ski. Yeah. Actually, I ski with Kyle's Peterson dad, Bill. And I still remember that set, like that when I went to ski that set. And first pass for buoys.
Okay.
But not for buoys because I was going bad, because I saw the course. That was it.
It was
a four buoy course, but it wasn't.
Okay.
But anyway, we ski there and that's how we, the kind of more, not professional, but like starting to get more into the real life of water skiing.
Yeah. Yeah. So you keep seeing, you said so far it wasn't about me, it was about my brothers, because you're the youngest one of your brothers, right? It's four of you.
It's four of us, two older ones, Francisco and Rodrigo and Tori. Me and then my sister, the youngest one.
Yeah, yeah. So at the time, maybe you were a little too young. The brothers were a little older. Seemed like they were into skiing. Mm-hmm. Let's find the right environment, the right people to surround them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how they came here. They improved like in 2 months what they didn't improve for years at home.
Yeah.
So they realized, okay, if you improve with someone in the boat, we need to get someone in the boat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how we found a person to go to Chile. They went to 94 Worlds in Mexico, in Guadalajara. And that's how they got to a tournament, and they started seeing more people. And then my dad said, who was coaching, who won the Worlds, which is at that time, Javi won the Junior Worlds.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And at that time, Larry was coaching Javi. In that period, he was coaching the Mexicans also. And that's how my dad brought him to Chile.
Okay.
And that's how it all started getting more. And then he was more into the skiing. He was out of Chile. He was more into like coaching people. He was more in upper level than what they had in Chile. And that's how we started. And that's how I started skiing.
So Larry is from Chile?
No, he's Argentinian.
Argentinian. Okay. Yep. So Larry moves to Chile. You guys start skiing together.
Yep.
And let's look at this, I guess. How were you guys always like skiing together, pushing each other? Or was it more like, how can I say? I don't want to say to each their own, but like, was it already like a family effort into competitive water skiing from the start?
Totally. Okay. From the start, it was a family effort. From the start, it was a family change.
Of course.
From back in the day, schools won't allow you to live for more than a month.
Yep.
At the time, do a professional sport at home or do a sport like all day or every day is not normal. So you are the abnormal.
Yep.
You are the weird guy.
Yep.
Then my brothers decided to go to a different school, which is a sports school,
mm-hmm.
which is not a regular school. Then our family was the weird one going to a different school, special school for sport, dedicating to the sport, putting all the effort to be a better athlete and better at what they were doing. And again, I was following.
Right. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So what I always say is my brothers, just to simplify, my brother opened a door and a road for me to be a better skier.
Yeah. Yeah. To walk on. To
walk on, because they walk through probably forests, beaches, like desert, like everywhere to get to the point where I was like comfortable skiing. Mm-hmm. Not because of me, because they did the path.
Yeah.
They were opening doors every year, opening doors, making things, health changing. Like they went through the moment that from short skis to long skis. So they figured out they were not going to change it at home. So they needed to go to the US again because they started traveling to the US. At that time, Larry was not that fan of it, obviously.
Yeah.
But they wanted it, so they move on. They got into the long skis, jump skis, the ski with Joel McClintock.
Okay.
On 96, 97.
Yeah.
I remember skiing at his house for a month. And yeah, and that's how they opened. And I was like, I'm following all this and I'm enjoying life because I'm just skiing and I'm having fun with my brothers. I'm around them. So it was all the time, the whole family. Like I said, like we're talking today, my father's always around. My mom is always around. They always want to be around. We always try to stay as a family. And yeah, that's how it went.
And I think it's super cool because, you know, among the many interviews that I've done, obviously family is a big part of the beginning, whether they are a skiing family or like yours or mine, say not a skiing family, but then the kids get into skiing. But then it always seems to be a point where family is not mentioned that much anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Like eventually you go ahead and do your thing and then there's that separation. Whereas with you guys, that's not the case at all.
No, because if it were not be because of my family, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
If it would not be because of my family, water skiing in Chile won't be what it is right now.
Right.
Well, we have a long way to talk about that. But so how can I put him out whenever they have done I will say they because it's my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And my brothers. At the end, it's the whole family again.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have done everything. We have done everything together to make us better and the sport better.
Yeah.
So my dad, let's put it this way. My dad started and he got into it that he didn't play soccer anymore. Didn't play football. He was all about skiing. He got into, at that time at home, there was not even a program to score. He built a program with a guy of a computer guy to make it work. It did work. They use it for a couple of tournaments. Then he started opening the mind, coming to the US, and then there was a different world. But he did a lot of things we started just from scratch.
From passion.
From passion for following what his kids wanted to do.
Yeah. So in all of this, was your dad skiing?
He started the skiing. He was skiing, free skiing, and then he got coaching. So he's like improved so fast. So he thought like, this is going to be easy. I'm going to get to 35 or 32 or whatever. So right. Quick. Obviously not, because he started late.
Yeah.
And obviously physically wise, he was pretty big at the time. So it took him hard, but he was doing one set every day before the work. And he started to ski. He started enjoying skiing. He started liking skiing too. But more than anything, he loves skiing, or he still loves skiing because of us.
Okay. Okay. No, I it's always curious to hear, you know, like parents that ski, you know, like, mm-hmm. and what that does to their passion, involvement into their kids skiing, you know. But it sounds with you, it was more like, you know, my kids are enjoying this and I'm doing it a little bit when I have time and
on top of that, we'll have talk about my dad pushing or making this thing the best that they can for us to ski.
Yeah.
But the other hand is my mom, which was our connection to land, like saying, okay, your dad is pushing all the way for skiing. I got to push a little bit of the social part.
Right.
You need to have friends. You need to have a life. You need to go to school. You need to study. You need to do stuff.
Yeah.
It's not going to be only skiing your whole life. I love what you guys do. But she was all about going out with friends, meet friends, do the social part that sometimes we leave it because we're so close-minded about our goals that we leave that apart, and then it hits you. Because yeah. I think it's a balance of both things that makes you a better athlete and a better person, and then better person makes you, I think, the right goal.
Yeah, yeah. When did this, how can I say, the challenge of this balance of like water skiing versus else became clear to you? Did you have a moment where you were like...
A moment that I was 14, I was doing it, I started at 6.5, but I started 6.5 or 7 training, mm-hmm. or 6 years old training, which means I was skiing every day, 3 times a day. Until Saturday, I will do 2 sets. So Monday to Saturday, I'll do around 18 to 20 sets, no matter what was going on. Like,
okay.
It was, and at 13, 14, 13 most likely, then your social parts are getting pretty big. Mm-hmm. You start socializing a lot more. You can just start going out with friends. And for me, I love soccer too. Mm-hmm. I love to do all the sports. And at that time, Larry was pretty, didn't like it at all, actually.
Ah, okay.
He didn't like it. And yeah, I wanted to do it. So my mom fought for me to do it.
Yeah.
So I did it. So I think it was a great thing. But then I realized, okay, I mean, do I want to keep doing skiing? Like, I want to have a life.
Yeah.
And it seems like water skiing, I go to school until 4. I skied 4 to 6:30, which it gets dark. Then I study a little bit, dinner, bed.
Yep.
And that's Monday to Friday. Saturday in the morning, I got to wake up and ski my 3 sets of Saturday, finish at 1, and then I had the weekend open from 1 till Sunday.
Yeah.
So really, at the end of the day, I didn't have much time for another meeting or like social meeting or meeting with friends or go out to play football. Because normally like matches are on Saturday morning.
Right.
So that's why I started to miss skiing and go to a soccer match and then come back skiing. Obviously, you can imagine how I ski those sets.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. I had that balance, but my mom was the main person that helped me to balance that out, that for me to keep skiing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a moment as we grow up as athletes. I mean, skiing obviously is very demanding, especially if you're doing all three events. You have to be at the lake. There's no other way around it. But I think there a point comes where you go, okay, there's always these other stuff. I don't know even if I want it or not, but there is, and it's there, and it's a possibility, mm-hmm. you know? So I always find it interesting when that moment kicks in skiers. Now, 13, 14, what was your involvement in competition? Were you traveling about pro tournaments? What was that like?
Well, again, I was following my brothers everywhere. In Chile, there were not many skiers at the time.
Yeah.
So I was 10, I was making teams.
Okay.
So I can say I could ski. I ski Edmonton 98. Junior Worlds.
Junior Worlds, yeah.
I ski. No, Edmonton 96.
96, 96.
France 98. I ski 2000 Greece. 2003 Chile. So I ski 4 Junior Worlds.
Wow.
And I was going to the Open Worlds. I ski in Hidroscalo 99.
Yeah.
I did a Topolino 98.
Yeah.
I did many tournaments. I was doing all the tournaments. Like literally, I was doing all the tournament, but I was just loving it. Like again, I was with my brothers. I was doing what the older ones were doing. So for me, I didn't even mind the friends.
Yeah.
Because I had my brothers.
Yeah, your brothers, you were kind of doing, I think, as a younger male brother, you obviously look up to your older brothers and you were doing what they were doing. So mm-hmm. what's cooler than that in a sense, you know? Yeah. When did you start to feel that you were competitive?
I think what it made me, I always thought that I was competitive because I was always a younger one.
Okay.
So even being the younger one, I was always able to compete, even though I was competing under 17 in South American Championship. Mm-hmm. And again, South America, even it wasn't that big of. There were some random good skiers. I'm not saying there were bad skiers. There were some good ones, but there were not a volume of good skiers.
But I think it's important you mention these things because some of the listeners are young water skiers. Mm-hmm. And for them to conceive that Chile wasn't big in water skiing at a time or that South America wasn't big in water skiing at a time, they don't even remember those days.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, again, I don't want to sound like they were bad at skiing. I'm saying they were just random people good in all South America.
Yeah.
But right now, I think South America is a world, is a potential. Like they are strong in the worlds. Like every time they go to worlds, South America, they show up and they're like, okay, like they're good.
There's a culture of water skiing.
There's a culture of water skiing. Every country is doing the right things. Every skier is know where it's going.
Yeah.
The level is super high.
Yeah.
So when the level is super high, you aim that level.
Yeah.
Before our ceiling it was lower. Now the ceiling is like super high. So you wanna be that, you wanna get to that ceiling. So you're talking about all pretty much world champions around South America. We have many.
Yeah.
So you have Pato, me, Javi, the Peruvian, Colombians. I mean, I don't want to miss anybody, but
Argentina is starting to come strong.
That's when they have like Argentina, the Georgies. I mean, many skiers that they're on the top.
Yeah.
They got to the top, or some of them are on the top.
Yeah.
Not mention the new ones.
Right.
So like I said, their goals are higher now.
Yeah.
Before the goals was winning South America championship or Latinos, sorry.
Yeah.
Now the goal is go win the worlds.
Right.
So they train for that. They work like that. They see people doing it. They saw the process of people doing that. So they know what they need to do. They know when they need to go through. It's not something new. It's not something that people haven't done it. Like it happened a little bit to my brothers.
Yeah.
And now South America opened this road for all the skier to follow it and do it right thing.
Yeah, no, I definitely see it. I mean, we're not that much different in age. I'm like a couple of years younger than you, but I remember a time where I was a junior or a young skier where there was the occasional skier, good from some country, Latin American country, but it wasn't like a culture like, say, like US or France mm-hmm. or the Great Britain, you know, mm-hmm. that have Australia decades and decades.
Even
you know?
Italy.
Or Italy, yeah, of course.
I mean, Italy always been strong.
Yeah.
Somehow they always manage to get some skiers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is in South America was 1, 2, like maybe 3 out of each generation.
Right.
But
right.
More than that, it was isn't there more. Now you see, even let's talk about the last Junior Worlds. Chile was 2nd.
Yeah.
We missed the gold by a buoy on a team.
That's crazy.
Or 2 buoys, I don't know.
Something small. Yeah.
Something really small. So the level that those kids got, they're competitive to the US, which is before it was not even in their mind.
No.
And I think for many countries, not even possible.
No.
And they didn't even realize what they did, I think, yet.
So clearly, like Latin American kids growing up today in water skiing, they don't miss reference points. But you guys didn't have them. So as you continued your journey into skiing, was it your trips to the US? What was it that gave you something to shoot for?
Well, here, Corys.
A Corys.
That was the second like click. Corey opened our whole skiing up. Mm-hmm. Like Corey was, I mean, we cannot thank more to Corey and Corey's family what they did for us, because they opened their house, they opened the lake, and they treat us like amazing, and they give all the knowledge and teach us so much that we're like, man, we didn't know shit.
Yeah.
That's what like it was. Because I didn't come the first year to Corey. My brother Tody came.
Okay.
He came for 6 months. He was 2 weeks here, and he decided to call my older brother. Hey, you know what?
You come.
Yeah. He learned 3 flips or 2 flips in 2 weeks, and the front flip like the third week. So he called my older brother, dude, you gotta come here. This is just like
the
unbelievable.
Place.
Like yeah. You will learn so much fun. Like the amount of knowledge that I have here is amazing. You gotta come. Well, he closed, he was in university. So he stopped it and took the whole year off and came here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Committed.
He committed.
Damn.
He committed. And that's how we all start. Like, again, the school of the coach that we had the whole time is more from old school.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta say like that. And Corey opened, like, you gotta learn flips.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta do ski lines. Slalom skiing is about speed. Jumping is about speed, not about controlling everything.
Yeah.
So it was a change. It was not easy.
Yeah.
And I think that was that was amazing part of what happened for us in the whole process to get where we are right now.
And as you came here, when you started like coming around here around Corey, were there already a lot of good skiers around Corey? Like somebody went like, whoa, I wish I could do that.
Well, for me, like, Tody came because of Javier Julio. Javi.
Okay.
Javi was going to come with him that year.
Yeah.
That's why my dad knew Javi. We kind of skied with Javi a couple of times whenever Lai was around. Javi used to come help us to have always someone in the boat.
Yeah.
And Javi told him, hey, you need to go to Corey's.
Okay.
And Mariana Ramirez,
yeah,
also said like, you need to go to Corys. That's a good place to go. You need to go.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I said, okay, I'm going. I'm taking a year off. I'm finished school, so I'm going there. And that's how all it started. And then here was what I mean, not that year, but I remember at the time was Joy Bakley. I don't know if you remember him. He was really good skier.
Okay.
Well, Regina was always here.
Okay. Yeah.
Regina. And then passed by, like, there's more and more that I remember right now. And then you start seeing things that, like, the level that you do, you're not that good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, you're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh wow, I need to get to work.
Right.
There's a lot of people around. You need to get to work. And even for me, that I arrived the year after, I came in there that year, 2000, for like 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then the next year I came for 6 months, and that was my first year alone.
Okay.
And that's where I started. Even I met friends here. I have good friends for that time. So it was like to come here, it opened the world for us. It opened the world for friends. It opened everything for water skiing. Like,
so really, the balance that mom was trying to get.
We got it here.
You got it here.
Yeah.
Got it. Now, When is the first time, I've asked this question to others, but I'm curious to ask it to you. When was the first time, might have been a win or something you learned, when you thought, man, I'm starting to become good at this?
I felt that I was, well, again, in the moment I felt I was doing really good before that 2000, before we came here.
Okay.
Because I was going 2008 Latinos and I was getting third place, second place in the under 17 being 13, 14.
Okay.
So yeah. I was like, man, I'm not that bad at this.
Yep. Yeah.
But then I arrive here and I see like this world of skiers, like many skiers doing maybe not the same, but like pretty the same or some people better. And yeah. And then I came here in 2001 with no expectation at all. But my dad was all about, they told him I needed to go to record tournaments.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know record tournaments.
Ah, okay, okay.
We do tournaments, but record tournament, the famous record tournament of the US. That's how we started.
Okay.
So my dad was, okay, where we need to go? And no, you gotta go to McCormick's because at that time McCormick was breaking every single record. You gotta go to Bennett because Bennett, Jimmy Seymour jumped 70 meters at that time.
Yeah.
If you don't remember, 2001, 2002.
Yeah, yeah.
He brought the record there. We got to Bennett's and then like moving around. So my dad said, okay, we are arriving in April. Let's sign up for tournament. Went to McCormick's, went to Bennett's. I go to Bennett's and I do my skiing.
Yeah.
So I get in the car and I don't know who it was. Well, Beto Mesa, you know Beto Mesa?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Beto was with us. He came with us to that tournament. And Beto was like, hey, you know what? You might be in Masters. I was like, what? Let's go check. I improved my PV from 44 to 48.
Yeah.
I ran like 2 at 38 and I tricked like 75,000.
Ah, wow. Solid junior overall.
That was my PV.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went and calculated at the judges tower at Bennett's and yeah, I was in the Masters. And then I'm like, man, you know what? And this is good.
Yeah.
Like this is, I'm taking the right direction right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I felt like, you know what? If I'm in Master was something beyond. And that's when I said, you know what? I think I can be good at this.
I mean, because you went from my understanding, in a few months, you went from, oh, there are such things as record tournaments that I could go to, mm-hmm. to them. I made it to the Masters.
Yeah.
that's
in a month, because I arrived the 28th of April.
Yeah.
Masters at the end of May. I did McCormick's, I think, was the end of April, probably. And then I went to Bennett's. And the Bennett's was the weekend before Masters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then all the thing rush, like get the entry in, try to get a hotel room, which there was none.
Right.
Got on the hotel the days in, last room that they had.
Yeah.
Arrived there, I remember the day before my jumpsuit broke, so they sent me a jumpsuit even to that hotel. And I made it to the Masters. And I ski well, I finished third, if I'm not wrong, on overall.
Yeah. So you show up at Masters, you show up at Callaway. What are the feelings? What are the emotions? What is going on?
My feeling was watching videos from Jared holding that huge, big cup of overall, mm-hmm. watching the Twin Larsen skiing, watching Emmerick Bennett, Tori Vagliano, Corey Pikus. I mean, I was skiing with Corey Pikus, the one I was watching the video the whole time.
Right.
Watching Jared. I mean, all the slalom skiers, Curtis and amateurs, Bruce Neville.
Yeah.
I mean, I can name on and on and on.
And there you were.
They were all there.
Ah, they were there. They were there.
They were all there.
Right.
And I mean, the Twin Lasses, they were gone.
Yeah.
But my first thought is those two tricking. And then when I arrive, I see all those skiers because we used to do Junior Masters with the Open.
Yeah, yeah, I remember those days, yeah.
And that was something priceless that I would love. I mean, hopefully they're hearing me. I would love that to happen again. That memory, I will never forget it.
Crowds on the
crowd
beach.
Coming off with my jump skis off the water. Freaking, I don't know. Jared coming in with his jump skis. I finished my final, he's coming in.
Right, right.
Or you finish your slalom, I don't know, Chris Parrott, Wade Cox, I don't know, I remember right now, or even Andy Maple at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all those things, all those memories, nobody's going to take it out. They're on me, and that's the thing that I remember the most out of the Masters, even.
That first experience.
First experience sitting on that dock. Not even the semifinal, because the semifinal was a day.
Yeah.
The day before.
Yeah, that's true.
The final was the, I'm getting and all the other athletes, and I'm there. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, you see Freddy Krueger showing up with the ski bag. You're like, oh, he's arrived, and he's got
my. And I look at them. I'm like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
Like all this, I was like, crazy. That's what I love about Master, like skiing at the same time with them.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. And then it starts on the water, like give you goosebumps. Like there's no other way.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is crazy.
that's cool, man. And it's funny how these memories, you know, are fond and we cherish them. If you could think back, what did it do to you? Was it like, now I'm gonna go home and train like mad, or like, did you enjoy it?
And I enjoyed it. Enjoyed the whole time that was there. The result, I did all right. Don't remember exactly why I did the first Master, but I enjoyed very much. But I realized that my skiing needed a change also.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My ski was good, but I needed to step it up.
Right.
I needed to get better.
Yeah.
And that's what my focus. I need to get better. I mean, I realized which event I was lower, which event I was not that good. And that's what I came back and train. Then I had 2000. Yeah. And then I trained for the Worlds.
Yeah.
Because the Worlds in Chile was in 2002, but they moved it because of the summer.
Right.
The first week of December.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I go to the Worlds. I know that I'm on the top. I ski US Open after. I did a couple tournaments. And I knew I was competitive. I knew I could win. I knew I could. But I had another kid that he was unbelievable skier.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he was better than me. To be honest, the Canadian, the Aaron Rathie, he's a
winner. Aaron Rathie, yeah.
He was amazing. He was like, I mean, I'll compare it today with Joe Pollen.
Yeah, I remember him.
I mean, there's no doubts. I mean, other than the guys I've seen in overall, him and Joel.
Yeah.
Without not talking about the other guys that are really good. But the amount of talent at that age, that guy was like, unbelievable.
I remember like 14, 15, he was running into 39.
Well, he skied that Worlds with 15. He had one more Worlds to go.
And he didn't go because he switched to
wakeboard. I don't know if he didn't make it for the last Worlds, but he skied the last Worlds with 15.
Crazy.
And I mean, in the paper, he was way better than me.
Yeah.
He was definitely more talented than me, but I knew I could do it. I knew in my home side, I could do it, and I trained for it, and I wanted so bad, and everything I wanted, I trained for, even though it wasn't on plan, but it was since on 2000, they took the Worlds,
the bid
bid for Worlds. I was like, okay, I need to, I mean, in Greece in 2000, I made every cut.
Every final?
Every final.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was my 14. But I didn't do good in the finals.
Yeah.
So I needed to improve. But my goal was to get to that Worlds, able to compete and hopefully win a medal.
Yeah. And how did those go? So you won overall?
I finished third in tricks, which is quite impressive for me.
There you go.
I finished, I don't know, fourth or fifth in slalom.
Yeah.
One jump. And one overall.
Damn, that's big.
Yeah.
That's a big world.
Yeah.
That's a big world.
And that's when it clicked that I'm good.
Okay.
When it clicked that I'm good. Like, I'm good at one Worlds. I mean, what else?
Right.
I mean, it's juniors. Like, looking it back, it's like, at that time, my motivation was like, okay, I trained for so many years for this. Because in my head, it was always junior Worlds.
Yeah.
Open Worlds, it was, again, in another level.
Yeah, you were going with your brothers.
I was going with my brothers, exactly. Yeah. And at that time, I was like, man, what should I do now? I mean, what should I do? I should keep training. I should be better. Now it's Worlds. Now it's under 2-1. Now it's open. I don't know. I need to get better now.
Yeah.
And at that time, that's when it clicked to me also my level. I'm good. Yes. Am good enough? No.
Yeah.
I need to make changes.
And so, because let's go from there. What type of changes did you make? Because it sounds like from the first Masters to Worlds, Junior Worlds, mm-hmm. like gold, you made some changes.
Corey.
And what were the changes after that Junior Worlds?
Then it was the guy that coached me for all those years. I didn't believe that much on him.
Yeah.
And it was time to move on. Like in any other sport, you can make it to a cycle. You need to change.
Yeah.
And actually, I started skiing with Italian for a little bit, slalom skiing with my brother, and I improved right away. Mm-hmm. It was a big change from maybe it needed to be somebody different in the boat. But my dad didn't thought like that. My dad thought it wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. That we needed someone better.
Okay.
Then my brother was skiing with the guy that started skiing with us. And I wasn't skiing because I didn't want to ski with him anymore.
Okay.
It sounds kind of like, well, you won Worlds, you don't want to ski with him. No, it's just, it was time for a change.
Yep.
So I ski with 1 year and a half with my brother and Andrea.
Ah, Pagnosin.
Pagnosin.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, of course.
I ski with him with slalom skiing. My slalom skiing improved a lot.
Oh, okay.
Because I put time on it. I skied twice. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, two sets.
That will do it. That will
Plus
do
my
it.
Two set of jump, my two tricking. I mean, I was skiing a lot of skiing.
Yeah.
And then my dad said, no, you know what? My other brother stopped skiing with Larry and we need someone. There we go again. We talked to Mariana. Mm-hmm. My dad talked to Marty and he said, who do you think? And actually, she started giving names and it show up Tangi. Yeah. And Tangi said, who is Tangi? So we're in China, 2005. I was top eight in overall.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
And I saw this little monkey coaching Jared and Angeliki. And that's Tangi.
That's Tangi.
And at that time, I think my dad talked to he talked to Matt and talked to Tangi, talked to few.
Yeah.
But I don't know that part of my dad. I would like to ask him why he decided Tangi. Mm-hmm. And that changed my life.
Right.
That I met a father, I met a friend, I met a coach. I mean, I could be on and on and on. And then he changed my life completely. Mm-hmm. Changed my life as a water skier and changed my life as a person.
So I would like to dig into that because over the various episodes, I've interviewed some skiers that Tangi was a passing by moment. They skied with him a little bit or they might have gone to ski with him a little bit. You skied years and years with mm-hmm. Tangi. Like he, as you said, you changed your life, like a father, a coach, a brother, like you met this complete, you had this complete relationship. Mm-hmm. How was it at the start and how did that relationship evolve?
Well, at the start was something like beyond what I expected. Mm-hmm. Because again, that little monkey, I call him, I give a shit. But Tangi was someone that you couldn't, whatever he will say, his sound of like he was so sure of anything. Mm-hmm. Even if I look back, he said some things that I can't believe I believe that.
Right.
But he's so sure of himself and everything he will say, I was throwing myself completely to that side. Mm-hmm. And then what changed the most is he brought a group with him.
Okay.
Marco.
Yeah.
The Greeks. And then you have all this group was skiing with them, that the level of the people that was skiing at even at my lake or whenever we were coming to US, Boris was there, or some French kid was there, talking about the guys that I ski against. It was amazing. For me, it was good.
Yeah.
But for me, I would push my every day because I seen all these guys like literally beating me by far. Mm-hmm. Marco was something. I was looking at Marco, he's the top three overall skier in the world.
Yeah.
He was on the last two finals of the Worlds. And he won our Europeans. He's an amazing slalom skier. And Tangi brought him up.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Marco is made completely by Tangi.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, if he did it, why not? I cannot do it.
Right.
Well, my first year with him, I improved 4 meters.
Uh-huh.
My first year with him, I improved 1,000 points.
Okay.
And my slalom, I told you, got better, but he made it 100%. I was so sure of myself.
Yeah.
But I always win. That's the most thing that he changed about me. So he started in 2006, January, around that day, that time. We ski all that year. The worst part, the first year he started, I had the bad year of jump. Mm-hmm. But we worked through it. And then on 2007, that's what all my level, what he taught me for the year and a half, exploded. Like, I got all my PVs. My slalom got amazing. He took me to France, Italy. We ski around all those areas. We ski with a lot of people, ski many lakes.
Yeah.
And then I go to First Worlds 2007 after China.
Because just to backtrack for a second, you said you got top 18 overall in 2005. Yep. So it's not that he got you.
Oh yeah, top 10.
Top 10. Well, anyway, like you were strong overall skier in 2005 in China, and he improved you that much, through him you improved that much already at that high level.
Yep.
That's impressive.
And but again, more than I did improve in the water, but my mindset, it was just crazy. Mm-hmm. I went to Austria. I knew I was not gonna fall.
Okay.
Well, he put me in that situation. Like, I could not fuck up. Mm-hmm. I could not do wrong. Only he was like, you cannot be more ready. This is it. I mean, just go and do what you've done every day and come back.
Right.
And give me a hug.
Right.
Well, actually, I was third. Listen to this story. I was third. Okay. I finished the whole prelims, finished with trick, obviously, again.
Right.
Finished third. I'm third. And then judges tower, all this mess, like normal.
Classic.
And I'm going to the hotel third. By the time you say, I need to check all the trick cheats. I said, okay, well, you better stay on it.
Yeah.
Well, he came back and I was fourth.
But in overall or in tricks?
In overall.
In overall.
And I'm like, well, what happened? Well, he had to take me a trick out.
Who took a trick out?
No. But he asked for time for Marco.
Ah, okay.
But for my tricking.
Okay.
So Marco, I lost a trick. Marco went ahead and he got third.
Wow.
But it sounds wild, but for me, it's all loyalty and fair play. Which it means no matter what is the right thing to do, is the right thing to do.
Yeah. Fair enough.
My trick wasn't in time.
Yeah.
I mean, he came and said, yeah, I mean, I cannot say anything. I couldn't be more happy to be fourth anyway. I was happy.
Yeah.
I would love to be an overall final. That would have been more fun at the time, but they took it out the year before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because there would have been a final for the top four.
Top four.
Yeah, that's right.
And yeah, but I came out amazingly happy. But again, I got that part. I was like, okay, this guy is real.
Yeah.
The guy being 2 years with him and he's real, like 100% real.
That's cool.
Like whoever he skied with him for so many years, he could have said nothing.
Yeah.
And not fight for the right thing. And he went and fought for the right thing. Yeah, wrong for me this time. Good for him, for Marco. And I was happy for Marco anyway because I was skiing with him.
Yeah.
And it was last Worlds and over and on and on.
Right.
And yeah, so it was a click for me with him. And it was a start for my career, for my overall career, for real. That's where I realized what happened in junior is good, is amazing. I'm not going to say like it wasn't good, but this is real skiing. Mm-hmm. This is real dogs.
Yeah.
This is real people. Like, you're not, at juniors, it's not like you don't think, but it's totally different world.
Yeah.
Like, you get prepared in juniors, yes, to get on this big stage where you need to go and compete to guys that they have experience, level, talent, determination. I mean, I can go on and on, but like when I got to that stage, I'm like, fuck, Tanguy, you can take me, no? Like you can take me
to that level. Yeah. No, I think when I think of you, I obviously think of a very strong coach-athlete relationship. And we know that in sport can make them or break them. It can help a sustained career or a quick career, mm-hmm. you know? And I love how you shared this story. I mean, you must have thought, okay, this guy is for real. And thanks to him or with him, I can reach the next level. So what happened after that? Just more training, more exposure?
More training, then it became my worst years of my life at the end.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, it became the years of getting injured, surgeries. I got shoulder surgery in 2008, which I was coming really good again. I was improving. So I had a year and a half with Tanguy.
Yeah.
Then I start over again, summer, getting on, 8 months, got hurt. And Tanguy had his accident also in that period.
Yeah.
Or 7, I don't remember. And then I got more close to him, but then I got hurt. I got hurt for 8 months.
Oh, wow.
But I wanted to be ready for Worlds.
Was it your first big injury?
I had big injuries before, but never surgery.
Ah, okay.
I had like back stress fracture. Pull my ACL or pull my adductors, like my groin. A lot of little things, but they stopped me for a month, maximum 2.
Yeah.
My back was 3 months, but this was 6 or 7.
That's long.
But I worked super hard to get back. I was like determined to get to Worlds in Canada, like 1,000,000%.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got the best year of my life. I started skiing. I worked mentally the whole time I was hurt. I did all my mental part, skiing out of the water, during before going to bed, waking up doing that, during the day. I don't know how many repetitions I did of sets over and over. When I came back to skiing, I realized, man, you can ski out of the water.
Yeah.
You really can ski out of the water. And
I through came mental back, imagery, right?
Just imaging your skiing over and over and over. Yeah, maybe one set equals 2,000 image.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't lose anything looking at over and over 2,000 image.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was doing, if I was doing one set, it was 2,000. Let's put an example, I was doing 6,000 to do 3 sets a day.
Yeah.
Yep. So over and over, I work in morning, midday, and afternoon at my physio. I really came back stronger than ever. And that was the 2009 year I came here, and we came with Tanguy, we start training. I mean, I'm getting back to my level, when my PV 68 meters, got my trick to 10,000, I got 5:39. That was my level after 8 months in 3.5 months.
Wow.
Or 4. I was like, I'm ready to go to this tournament, hopefully a little better. And 3 weeks before, I pulled my ACL.
No.
Yeah. And again, I was like, but I'm going to ski it. I said, just leave it. Like, I mean, it's 3 weeks. You pull ACL, it's almost torn. Like, you got to let it heal. So again, I look everything. I went to hyperbatic chain.
Oh, yeah. The chamber, yeah.
Chamber, so I had to recover it faster. I will do everything to get it back. Well, I got back to ski.
Yeah.
That was the wrong part. I was going to compete, but I got back. I was ready to ski, not to compete.
Okay.
Well, I had a crash in Canada.
That's right.
And then again, shoulder surgery again, broke my arm, broke my ankle, tore my ligament completely on my ankle. So I'm like, again, 8 months again. That period was, I'll say, one of the worst ones. That if it would not be for my family, brother, Tanguy, himself again, I don't think I would have come back skiing. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to. I made it to 98 kilos.
Somehow. Wow.
Yeah. Not with muscle.
No. I get it. That's not muscle.
And to come back, it was like every day was, I don't want to do it. I didn't put that much effort to get back. I didn't, because I worked so hard those 6 months before to get it back. And I lost it in, I worked 4 months of skiing And for a month later, I'm getting in the hospital getting surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, do I want to do it? I mean, but my goal was to really win a medal at the Worlds.
Oh, yeah, because until then, you hadn't won a medal at the Worlds.
I haven't won a medal. I haven't made a final at the big Worlds.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I got top 8 in overall. You don't get a finals.
Yeah.
In Austria, I was 13 or 14 slalom. Where I did 3:39 and the cut was 3.25.
Mm-hmm.
And tricks, I was in the trick final with a trick that it was on time. They cut it off. I was out of the final.
Yeah.
I'm on and on and on that I couldn't make it.
But that's crazy. The like, you didn't make a final at the Worlds and you were 4th in overall. I mean, that's high level skiing at that Worlds, if I may say, you know.
It was good. And then I started back and made it to Russia.
Yeah.
My expectation, again, they were lower than how I arrived for Austria. With Austria, I said, like, I was super ready. Again, I didn't have time to work with Tengi at the end. So I finished the Worlds in Russia, and I look back, it's been 6 years with Tengi. I ski a year and a half, 4 months, and a year.
Yeah.
But all separate.
Yeah.
So I haven't given him the chance to train me. Yeah, he skied with me. He may be better.
Yeah.
But he haven't trained me in a processed long run for me to get better.
Yeah, yeah. Like, here's 2 years. Let's get ready for Worlds.
Let's get ready. So at that time, then it was Pan Am Games in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I felt like competitive, I felt like I'm back to my level. I finished second, third. Like, I won some medals. I lost overall with Javi, actually, that Pan Am's.
Yep.
But losing with Javi for me was not like saying it's normal, but he was one of the top. I mean, he was one of the best overall skiers in the world.
Because he won in Canada, right?
He was the reigning champion.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't win in Russia.
Or he won in Russia.
No, Canada.
He won Canada, Adam won Russia. Adam right? won Russia. Yeah.
But he was the world champion.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For me to beat him, it was like, I beat him.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, I'm supposed to beat him.
Got it. Yeah.
So I felt good. I compete and I told Tanya, I'm ready, man. I'm like, I want to start training again. Like, right. I did pretty good that year to be ready for that Pan Ams. Not for Russia, but yes, I did it after.
Yeah.
It became all, I delayed that season. And from now on, like, it was all training.
Mm-hmm.
I swapped everything. I swapped my physio. I swapped my personal trainer. Nutritionist, same psychologist, Tengi, and I put him all together and I had a goal. It was Worlds, because we bet the Worlds on 11 and I want to be 1,000,000% ready.
Oh yeah, the 2013 Worlds were in Chile.
In Chile.
So like kind of deja vu to the Junior Worlds.
Deja vu for the Junior Worlds, exactly. I want to be ready for that one. And I want to train these 2 years like there's no other year, and I want to take all the chances that I need. I did everything that I could to be ready for it. I literally, like I always said to my skiers or for my junior skiers, every time you get to the dock, you cannot regret anything you did in the past if you have done everything good.
Yep. Good teaching.
So what I love to feel is when I arrive to the dock and I'm like 1,000,000% ready.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything. Yes. Did I try to eat right? Yes. Did I did all my the effort to do my gym right? Yes. You leave stuff. Yes. It doesn't mean you have to, but you did it because you weren't ski. And you trained the best you can in those years. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have what happened after in the water, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, it does matter. I'm not going to fool here, but it does matter. But in my head, it doesn't matter because I've done everything. If that day it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
Right.
I'll be pissed. Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently, I will try to get back stronger. But normally for me, have worked every time I felt that way. It's been amazing.
And so I'm assuming you felt like that for the 2013 Worlds.
100%.
Okay.
For that one, I was just like, again, same feeling of 2007, but I was a better skier. I was better ranking overall. I wasn't at the top.
Mm-hmm.
The skiers that they were there, they were better than me. I can name three. Adam, Martin, Javi.
Yeah.
If someone else, I don't know. Or Thibaut.
Thibaut.
So I was fourth. In the paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Score-wise.
Yeah.
But I know in the tournament, I was so strong and I was so ready that I could, whatever I do, I was going to put that pressure in. And that's why it went, the whole tournament. The whole tournament started wrong for me. Started with, I run 1.5 at 39. I was running 39.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is over.
Yeah. Right.
Then obviously Tanguy came and said, grab me from, literally from the hair. Say, what are you talking about? It's not over. It's just starting.
Right, right.
And you didn't do bad. You have 66% to go, and you're going to destroy those 66%. I mean, you're going to be ready. I mean, you are ready.
Yeah.
So let's go one at a time. Let's finish semifinals, and then we can talk. Right. And see what happened in the finals. If you make one.
Right. Because you haven't made one yet.
You haven't made one yet.
Yeah.
And I said, if I make one. I said, what do you mean you make one? You're going to make the finals. Okay, you didn't make it in a slalom, which you should have.
Yeah.
But over, that's done. You cannot do anything about it. You cannot go again.
Right.
It's over. You have the score.
Yeah.
And luckily you, your skier didn't beat you by far. Only one qualifier was Thibaut.
Yeah.
All the rest messed up like you. They took a buoy from you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that gap is normal. And with jump, you'll get him. Okay.
Right.
So I went to trick, 95 PV, not PV, but like
solid.
For worlds, it's pretty damn solid.
Yeah, it's very solid.
Made the cut.
Made the first cut at the world.
Made the cut. Finally made a cut. I was like super excited. Made a cut.
Yeah.
And my competition, Javi didn't make it.
Javi didn't make the cut.
The cut.
Mm-hmm.
So he was out because he normally take 1,000 points from me in tricks.
Okay.
So pretty much, and I take him a couple meters in jump. So he was not out, but he was, if I jump normal, he's out of the competition.
Yeah.
Then you got Adam made a cut and Marty Coleman. Marty made a cut? I don't remember.
Can't remember.
And Thibaut made a cut.
Okay.
So we're still four skiers. Don't count Javi out. He's just trick 92.
Right.
Didn't make the cut, but the score is legit. It's good.
Yeah.
Not good, I mean, maybe to win, but he's there. But you got to jump yet. And in jump, my first jump, poop, 65.5. Like, that's in the finals. Again, my second final. My second first final.
Yeah.
And I'm in the lead. After the semifinal. And the way it looked to the finals, it was, who can fix it? Who can beat me?
Yeah.
Thibaut crashing jump, did 56 meters, no chance. Adam did it right, but he needed trick 11.4. His PB was 11.
Yeah.
But that guy, he can throw anything.
Yeah.
If someone can do something,
it's Adam Sedlmeier.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, another guy that is like beyond good. Like, he is amazingly good. And Martin, I think he made the jump final, but I don't think he made the trick final And I go to the finals, and the only thing I needed to do is improve whatever I did to finish it.
Which is a nice place to be in a sense.
Go and have fun, but go and do your stuff and go big. I mean, and I improved my score by 400 points.
Ah, so you improved in tricks too.
I finished sixth.
Ah, there you go.
And I still remember it.
There you go.
Yeah. I finished sixth, and after tricks, I won the Worlds.
Okay.
Without even jumping.
Damn.
But it messed my jump up.
Yeah.
My head, it was off. I already knew I won Worlds. And that was the dream come true.
So you went onto the dock for the jump final, knowing that you were the world overall champion.
Yep.
I mean, clearly I can understand how that would mess your mind, but what was the thinking then? What was the thinking after you knew?
During the jump, I was just enjoying it. It was so many people in the tournament watching.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a lot of people. Like, actually, I was surprised how many people show up for the tournament. And no matter what I did on that final, I was coming out with a mega smile.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just coming like to celebrate like big time. I actually, I got married that year before.
Ah, okay.
On 2012.
So 10 years.
Yeah. I'm going to be 10 years in this year.
Wow.
And yeah. And so it was like everything was just a dream come through. I did it the way I wanted. And then passing that, I mean, I couldn't, again, Tangi was the main, my family, Tangi, my group.
Yeah.
Because I was about to quit 2 years, 3 years before.
That's true.
And this was like, I work hard. I don't like to say work hard, actually, because I believe what I do, I enjoy so much that is what I do, is what I like.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like many, and I've said too that, oh, I work so hard. Yeah, I work hard. But that's what you should do. It's part of it.
Yeah.
It's not like I say, oh, I work hard, that's why. No, everybody works hard. Everybody does their dues. Everybody does their what they need to do. But I did it and I enjoyed it. And then past that, it was a amazing feeling, a dream come through. It passed a couple months. And then there started a lot of people saying that I only win in Chile. I won Junior Worlds, Under 21 Worlds, University Worlds, and Open Worlds in Chile. I haven't won a tournament, a world title outside.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, it does bother me.
Okay.
Because I think the water is the same, the ramp is the same, the boat is the same for everybody. I know the place. Yes.
Yeah.
Do it fits me? Yes. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, of course.
But I think I'm good enough to do it outside.
And that's your new motivation.
And that's my new motivation. I wanted to do it outside so bad. So bad. Like, that's the only thing I wanted it. And I think that's one of the reasons on 2015 I skied so bad. Do 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 do